and visit some old friends of ours, Josh and Stacy Peterson. Some of you may know them. And so we get to go and do that this week. A nice, you know, 11, 12-hour drive should be fun. And so, you know, I do want to say thank you, though, for all of you this morning. And I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be up here and to speak to you. Thank you for making this a church that I love being a part of. And it wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for all of you. And so I just want to say thank you so much for being here and for allowing me to speak to you this morning. Hopefully I won't let you down. And today we're continuing a series called Forgotten Virtues. And we're talking about things, qualities that we feel like have gone missing in our culture today. Virtues that have been forgotten. And the first week we talked about honor, right? We talked about honor. And the second week we talked about purity. Last week Peter talked about gratitude. He talked about gratitude in our relationship with God. And today I'm going to continue the talk on gratitude, and I'm going to talk about our relationships with one another. And before I do anything, I actually want to begin by showing you one of the ugliest words in the English language. You ready? Not that one. That one. Ungrateful. It's just an ugly word, isn't it? I mean, nobody wants to be this, right? Nobody wants to be known as ungrateful. And the interesting thing about this word, ungrateful, is that it's so hard, it's almost impossible for us to see in the mirror. It's so hard for us to see in ourselves. And we know that we can look in the mirror sometimes and we can see when we're angry. We know that when we're afraid. We know when we're feeling nervous. There's even times where we're willing to admit that we feel insecure. But this one, we don't ever see this. In fact, if anyone has ever told you that you are ungrateful, you immediately went into defense mode. You immediately shot back at them and said, "No, I'm not. You are wrong. I am not ungrateful." And the reason why we get so defensive when somebody says that we are ungrateful is we feel like they are accusing us of not feeling something. Isn't that right? We feel like they're accusing us of not feeling something. That's why we get so defensive when somebody tells us that we are ungrateful. You know, somebody says to you, or growing up, someone said to you, "After all I've done for you, you are so ungrateful. You are so ungrateful." None of us have heard that one before, right? I mean, you immediately went into defense mode and you shot back at them and you said, "Wait a minute, I'm grateful." And you began to rehearse and you began to think of all the ways that you're grateful. And so by the time they're done telling you how ungrateful you are, you're actually feeling more grateful than you've ever felt in a long time, right? Because you respond to them and you say, "Hey, you're wrong. I'm a very grateful person," because we retreat to our grateful thoughts. We retreat to our grateful feelings. That's why this is really, really hard for us to see in the mirror. This is why you can spend the rest of your life in your most important relationships and be ungrateful and never, ever know it. In fact, in a group this large, some of you are sitting next to someone right now saying, "I'm so glad he or she is here," right? Or some of you are thinking, "I wish my son was here. I wish my boss was here. I wish my coworkers were here." And because you see these things in their character, but they don't see it in themselves. And ungrateful is so easy to see in someone else, but it's so hard to see. It's almost impossible to see when you look in the mirror. Now, this is also a really important topic for a couple of different reasons. And number one, there's a principle that says gratitude generates generosity. Gratitude generates generosity. When you are generous towards somebody and they are grateful, it makes you want to be more generous towards that person, doesn't it? But when you're generous towards someone and they are ungrateful, it kind of shuts you down. Because gratitude generates even more generosity. But there's an even more important reason why this is such an important subject this morning. Ingratitude not only shuts down generosity, ingratitude can shut down an entire relationship. It can shut down an entire relationship. In fact, if I were to sit down with you and you were to tell me your story, I would imagine that you might tell me a story. You might share about a relationship in your life that used to be warm, that used to be full of life, that used to be intimate, and that used to be full of passion. But over time, it just got shut down. And it shut down over time because this person or someone in your family began to send you a signal that they are just not grateful. And because of their ingratitude, you don't feel like giving them your time or your involvement or your energy. Because ingratitude doesn't simply just stop generosity. Ingratitude has the power to shut down an entire relationship. And the worst thing about it is we never know what's going on because it's so hard to see ungrateful in the mirror. We never know what's going on because it's almost impossible to see in ourselves. We can see in other people, but it's so hard to see in our life. In fact, in all the years that I've been in this church and in the 3 years that I've worked with high school students, I have never heard someone come up to me and say, "Hey, Mike, I figured out what my problem is. You know, the problem is that I'm ungrateful." I've never heard it, okay? I've never heard that one before. I've heard guys, you know, get open about all kinds of stuff, but I've never heard someone say, "I'm ungrateful." I've never heard it because it's almost impossible to see in the mirror. And this could ultimately be the reason why you are having such a hard time in your relationship with your parents, teens. This could be the reason why you're having such a hard time in your relationship with your kids, with your spouse, with your coworker, with your roommates. This could ultimately be the reason why you're having such a challenging time in those relationships. And so I thought it would not only be fun to talk about today, but helpful for all of us in our relationships with one another. Now, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're actually going to look at a story that we looked at last week, okay? We looked at the story last week. Peter had shared the story, but I want to give you a completely different perspective, a completely different outlook on this story of Jesus. So Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 11. If you didn't bring your Bible, it's all good. We got it up here on the screen for you. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." Okay, so he's traveling along the border of these two cities. Why? Because he's trying to stay out of the public. He's trying to keep a low profile. And so he's traveling between the border between Samaria and Galilee. "As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" Now, if you know anything about the Bible or the culture during this time, you would know that leprosy was a dreaded and feared disease. And people in this culture thought that leprosy was actually contagious. That's what they thought. And so when somebody showed any signs of leprosy, they were immediately thrown out. They were asked to leave and put out of the community. Generally, they were put into a group of people who had leprosy. And so there would be this group of lepers that would all huddle together. And it was such a horrible disease because you immediately became an outcast from society. Oftentimes, you became an outcast from your own family. Actually, in many cultures, everywhere you went, you had to wear a bell to let people know that you were coming so that they could leave. In this culture, it also meant that you were a religious outcast, meaning you weren't allowed to participate in temple worship because you were considered ceremonially unclean. And so you were destined to live alone, or you were destined to live with someone else who had leprosy. And it was just this horrible, horrible disease. And so Jesus is out in this border area, and where only a few people live, and he's moving along, he's trying not to be seen by anyone, and all of a sudden, he hears these voices, and they're calling out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them from a distance, look what he said. Go, show yourselves to the priest. Now, I've got to explain this verse to you. Go, show yourselves to the priest. Because Jesus kind of did three things all in this one statement. Okay, if you've read the Bible, you would know in the Old Testament law, when the leper realized that, hey, I think my leprosy has gone away. And by the way, there was no cure. There was no medicine for leprosy. But every once in a while, someone would just miraculously be healed of their leprosy. There was no explanation. And the first thing they had to do was go and see the priest. And the priest would examine them and check them out. And he would determine whether or not they can come back into the community. And so that's what they would have to do. And so Jesus says from a distance, hey guys, go show yourselves to the priest, which was weird. Because at this point, they had nothing to show the priest except their leprosy, right? In other words, what Jesus was asking them to do was to walk by faith. He was asking them to walk by faith. And by walking by faith, that simply means that you're going to take God at his word and doing what you would do if you believed God would keep his promise. If he would keep his promise. So what he's saying is, hey, you think you know who I am, right? You think you know who I am? You think I'm this great, you know, miracle worker, right? I want you to go show yourselves to the priests, and I want you to do this as an act of faith in the fact that that I am who I claim to be. And the other thing Jesus was doing was he knew that these lepers, when they would meet up with the priest, what's the priest going to ask? How did this happen? How did this happen? I mean, if one guy comes to him and he's healed of his leprosy, that's understandable. That happens every now and then. But 10 guys healed of their leprosy, showing up to the priest saying, hey, Jesus told us to come to you, and he said that on the way we would be healed, and here we are, we're healed. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so there's a lot of stuff going on, and all 10 of these guys decide, hey, we're going to make that journey into town to see the priest and see whether or not Jesus has healed us of our leprosy. Okay, you following me? So here in Luke chapter 17, verse 14, let's look what it says. Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. These guys were healed of their leprosy. And then this is where the story gets really interesting. One of them. Not 10 of them. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back. We call this guy the returner. He's the returner. He was the only one on the way to see the priest that realized that all the sores on his body were gone. He's the only one on the way to see the priest that realized that all this stuff on his body had disappeared. And he's walking, and he's beginning to feel things that he hasn't felt in a long time. And he suddenly realizes, I've been healed. I've been healed of my leprosy. And so when this guy saw that he was healed, it says that he came back praising God in a loud voice. Now look at what this guy does when he sees Jesus. It's pretty cool. Verse 16. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. And what? And what? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And by the way, he was a Samaritan, right? When he finds Jesus, he throws himself at Jesus' feet in this amazing display of gratitude. And he thanks Jesus. And by the way, Luke makes sure to tell us that the man was not even Jewish. He was a Samaritan, and I don't have time to tell you about that relationship, but they don't like each other, okay? They didn't have a good relationship. Jews did not like Samaritans. And so after he's done thanking Jesus, Jesus asks him a very, very important question. He asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, I'm going to come back to this here in a moment. But here is the tension that I think we all have when it comes to our relationships as it relates to gratitude. Jesus is making a point that something is wrong in this picture. Jesus makes a point that for only one of the 10 was the circle of gratitude closed. For the other 9, it was still open. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And he goes on. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. End of story. End of story. Now, if you've never heard the story before, your first response might be, wow, okay? How, after all he did for these 10 guys, after he did for all of them, these 9 guys, they are so ungrateful. I mean, Jesus just gave them their life back. He just gave them their family back. He just gave them their future back. I mean, Jesus just gave them so much, and only 1 out of the 10 came back to thank him. However, the interesting thing about the story is we wouldn't think of this as a story about ingratitude if one hadn't returned. You get me? We wouldn't think of this as a story of ingratitude if one person hadn't returned. Because when you read the Gospels, when you read the accounts of Jesus' life, Jesus heals a lot of people who actually don't come back and say thank you. It actually happens a lot, seriously. I mean, he does some amazing miracles for people, yet very few times do people come back and express gratitude to Jesus. They are just so overwhelmed with what they've been given that they move forward without coming back first. They move forward without coming back, and you almost can't blame them. I mean, who knows how long it's been since they've been embraced by their family? Who knows how long it's been since they've been embraced by their children? And we wouldn't see this as a story of ingratitude if one hadn't returned. And the other interesting thing about the story is, and I'm just making this part up, okay? But just, you know, listen, I think it's a good point. Don't you imagine if we chase down the other 9 and we ask them, hey, before you get to the priest, aren't you grateful for what Jesus did for you? What do you think they would say? What would they say? Of course, yeah, we are so grateful. Jesus just gave our lives back. We can't wait to see our families. We are so grateful. We can't wait to see the priest and tell him what Jesus did for us. They would say, am I grateful? Are you kidding me? My heart is overflowing with gratitude. Yeah. I'm feeling so many grateful thoughts right now in my heart. Meanwhile, Jesus is back with the one guy going, weren't there 10 of you? Weren't there 10? And only 1 has returned, and he's not even Jewish. And the other 9 are going, this is the greatest day of our life. And Jesus is going, weren't there 10? Weren't there 10? Something is wrong. These guys have no idea that there is an unfinished loop, that there is an unfinished cycle. Meanwhile, Jesus and his disciples were like, weren't there 10? Why has only 1 returned to express gratitude? And the truth is, they have the same problem that we have. And the problem is this. They feel it, not the feel it. They felt it. They felt it. They just didn't express it. That's right. They felt it. They just didn't express it. Let me tell you what's going on in your relationships. You feel it. You just haven't expressed it. And that's what makes this so dangerous relationally, because somewhere in your life and somewhere in my life, someone's standing around going, weren't there 10? Why hasn't all 9 come back to say thank you? Here's the principle. Write this down. This is amazing, okay? I didn't come up with this. I got this somewhere else, but check this out. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Unexpressed gratitude is real gratitude, okay? I mean, I really feel it. I really believe it. I really am grateful. Unexpressed gratitude is real gratitude, but unexpressed gratitude actually communicates the exact opposite of what you think. It communicates the exact opposite of what you feel. It communicates ingratitude. And it gets worse. Not only does it communicate ingratitude, unexpressed gratitude is actually a form of rejection. Unexpressed gratitude is a form of rejection. Now, all of you ladies who have ever cooked for children or a husband understand this, right? All of you who have cooked dinner for your husband or your children understand this, because one day you decide that you're going to make this big, awesome dinner, and you get off work early, right? And you go grocery shopping, and you spend all this time in the kitchen. You spend all day working, and you put all that time in the kitchen, and it's dinner time. And you call your kids to the dinner table, and you call your husband to the dinner table, and tumbleweeds blow through the house. You can hear the crickets chirping. And then you call them again, and you call them again, and now you're feeling a little angry, right? I mean, you're feeling a little upset. And so you call them all separately, and finally they get there, and they sit down, and then somebody turns on the TV, right? Someone turns on the TV, and everybody is just so focused on that amazing dinner, and they're eating so fast because it's so good. And then before you know it, they get up and they walk off. They get up and they walk off, and you're upset. And they have no idea how angry you are. And if you were to pause and say, hey, time out, aren't you grateful for your mom? They would be like, oh yeah, high five, mom. That was an amazing dinner. Thank you so much, honey. That was the most bestest dinner you ever made in my life, you know, and you'd say all these great things. But because nobody does that, the unexpressed gratitude causes mom or your wife to feel rejection. And then everyone gets up and scatters, and there she is in a bad mood. She's in a bad mood. And she doesn't want to be. And she doesn't want to be. And then if you're the husband, you ask the dumbest question a man could ask in this situation, right? You walk into the kitchen, and what do you ask? What's wrong, honey? Right? What's wrong, honey? And you have no idea. You are completely oblivious because you didn't express it. And by not expressing it, you express to your wife or your mom that you're ungrateful. After all, you're my mom. You're supposed to cook for me. After all, you're my wife. You're supposed to cook for me. This is just your job. We're entitled. We're entitled. Leave us alone while we watch TV and do our homework. And you feel something that they never intended you to feel, but it's real. It's real. And it goes both ways, doesn't it, men? It goes both ways. Dad, can I have 20 bucks? Hey, Dad, can I have 40 bucks? Hey, Dad, there's a sale. Hey, honey, I need a new laptop. Hey, Dad, I need a car. All my friends are getting cars. I need a car. I need, I want. And you're just handing out cash like an ATM machine, right? It's just coming out faster than it's coming in. And the truth is you love being a provider. The honest truth is that you love the fact that you're able to give these things to your kids and to your wife. But after a while, you just get mad. And you get madder. And you get madder, and if you were to stop your wife and kids and say, hey, aren't you grateful for Dad? They'd be like, oh yeah, Dad's awesome, my old man, he's the coolest, right? Or whatever you would say. But you never told your dad. You never told your husband. And what he feels is rejection. And you don't see it because ingratitude is almost impossible to see in the mirror. And here's the bottom line. If it isn't expressed, it doesn't exist. If it isn't expressed, It doesn't exist. Even Jesus asked, weren't there 10? Weren't there 10? I healed 10. Why is there only one? Because inexpressed gratitude is the same as ingratitude. And when we do this, here's what we're expressing. You're my mom. You're supposed to do that. You're my dad. You're supposed to do that. You're my child. You're supposed to clean your room. You're supposed to do the dishes. You're my roommate. You're supposed to do that for me. Aren't I entitled to these things? I mean, we would never say that we're entitled, but by not saying thank you, we are sending a message to those people around us that we are entitled. And over a long enough period of time, if you continue to refuse to express gratitude, you will drive the heart right out of your relationship. You will just drive the heart right out. So let me ask you a question. As I'm saying this, who's coming to mind? Who comes to mind? As I'm saying this, who are the people you are grateful for, but you haven't expressed it? Who are they? Because unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude, and over time, it will drive people's hearts out of a relationship. So who do you need to humble yourself towards and say, I know you think you should do this because you're my mom or because you're my dad, but I just want you to know that I am so grateful because you really don't have to do that for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the last thing as I wrap up the lesson today, and this is so important, and it's this. Gratitude closes the loop in our relationship with God and with others. Amen. Let me illustrate this for you. How many of you have ever been to a little kid's birthday party? Anybody? Most of us, right? It's mostly moms with kids, right? Well, let's just say at our pretend, you know, little kid birthday party, we have the birthday boy, Billy, okay? And we have his little friend. Her name is Laura, okay? So we have Billy and Laura, and the moms are sitting with them when Laura decides to give Billy his birthday present, right? And so the moms are like, let's see what it is, Billy. And Billy just rips that thing open, and it's a football, right? It's like this football, and he's like, yeah, I got a football. Now, in that moment, Billy's mama realizes the loop isn't closed. She realizes the loop isn't closed. And before Billy rips the football out of the box to go play with it, Billy's mom always asks the same question. It's four words, and it starts with what? What do you say? What do you say? Why is mama saying, what do you say? Because mama from the outside realizes the loop has to be closed. Hey, before you go run off with that football, what do you say? What do you say, Billy? Help me, help me. What do you say? Because mama knows something is wrong. Here's how Jesus said it. Weren't there 10? Weren't there 10 and only one has returned? What do you say? What do you say? And Billy, he has no clue, right? Billy has no idea what you're trying to tell him. And so you have to coach him. You have to say, thank you. And finally he says, thank you. And you're like, oh, thank you. You know? Why? Because intuitively you know that unexpressed gratitude is not gratitude. And Billy's like, well, of course you gave me a football. It's my birthday, right? That's how he feels. Yet over time, unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. And it will drive the heart out of your relationships. And so the call of this passage for you and me is that we would be like the one. Amen. That me and you would be returners. And a returner is someone who is willing to go back to those who enabled them to move forward. A returner is someone who's willing to go back to those who enabled them to move forward. And in your life and in my life, there are so many people that have invested in us. There are so many people that have loved us, people that have provided jobs for us, education for us, opportunities for us. There are so many people in our past that without their help, we would not be where we are today if they were not a part of our life. And that was the case with the 10. That was the case with the 10. None of the 10 lepers would have been able to move forward if it were not for Jesus healing them. Yet only one went back to the one that enabled him to say thank you, to say thank you, and to express gratitude. And I just want to take a moment here and step out of the box, and I want to express some gratitude to people in my life. I want to say I'm so grateful for my wife, Ayumi. She is such an incredible woman. Yeah. She is strong in all the ways that I'm not, and I appreciate all her differences because that's what really helps things click for us, and she makes me better. You know, I'm closing in on my last class for college to get my degree, and she's the one she's helped me get through this process, and I'm so grateful. You make me so much better, Ayumi. I'm so grateful for you. I want to thank my family. I have an amazing little sister over here. Her name's Julia. I love her so much. And I'm so proud. Okay, I'm up here, so I get to express gratitude, right? You know? But I'm so proud to call her my sister. She is an incredible young woman. My mom, it was her birthday this last week, and I wrote in her card, I said, there's things that I say today that I think, that's what my mom told me when I was young. And I definitely wouldn't be the man I am if she hadn't instilled certain values in my life. I wanna thank this crazy group up here in front, the teen ministry. I love this group. I love you guys so much. Almost every thought of my day goes in how we can help you, Ayumi and I. We want to help you guys, and we're grateful to you parents for letting us serve your kids. We love doing it. I want to thank you guys as a church for making this such an amazing place to be. I wouldn't be able to serve on staff if it wasn't for you. Thank you. And I left one guy out. It's my dad. His name is Kevin Mead. And I love my dad. We go way back, all right? We go way back. And I want to, you know, to keep me from getting emotional, I wanted to share a funny story with you. And we go back to high school days, okay? And he's going to laugh when I say this story. But around my junior year of high school, I was in a really bad place spiritually. And I was in a spot where I decided that I didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. I had got so pulled in into the world, and I got so enticed by, you know, partying and this lifestyle and relationships with girls that I made the decision that I don't want to be a disciple anymore. And that led to a lot of stuff my senior year. And when I graduated, I was really confused. I had no idea what I wanted to do. Okay, I was not motivated to go to college. I considered going to the military, but didn't want to do that. And so my dad, he offered me the opportunity to work with him because I'm a son. I deserve that, right? I'm his child, and I deserve to work with my dad, and I deserve for him to pay me, right? And so I begin working with my dad, and he's a contractor, and he does construction, and I'll give you his card after service, right? I'm just kidding. But seriously. And you know, I'm working with my dad, and I'm going to just let you on a little secret. I was the worst employee in the world, okay? I was the worst employee in the world, okay? My dad would tell me, hey, Mike, can you go get the drill out of the truck? My dad's having nightmares right now. Hey, Mike, can you come here and help me out real quick? Dragging my feet. I'm telling you, it was bad. His clients were like, who is this guy? Right? Why is he working with you? Right? So I remember this one day specifically. We were working in Seal Beach. And at the end of the work day, and my dad comes up to me, and he hands me money, and he says, don't come back to work tomorrow. What? Don't come back to work tomorrow. And in my head, I'm going, are you firing me? You can't fire your son. I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. And he said, you know what? You're going to learn what it's like to go work for someone else. And whether he said it that way, something like that. And I'm telling you, I got a job working in the union, Carpenters Union, and I learned really quick that nobody cares who I am. In fact, they make sure to tell you every day, you're replaceable, okay? If you don't work hard enough, there's other people who need a job, okay? I'm no one special boy in the union, okay? I gotta work my butt off. I'm waking up at 3 in the morning every day, getting home at 6 p.m. at night, and that's when I learned in my life to be grateful. And if it wasn't for my dad, I don't think I would have ever learned that lesson. I'm so grateful. And it's a funny story, and I'm not saying that you have to do this with your kids, but hey, it is an option, okay? It is an option. And that's just one funny story, but my dad, I respect my dad so much. I love him to death. And I'm so grateful for our relationship, Dad. And I don't have all the time in the world to express all my gratitude today for everyone. But my question is, are you willing for the rest of your life and your most important relationships to be a returner? Are you willing to be a returner? And if that's hard for you, you need to realize that that thing inside of you that doesn't want to say thank you, that doesn't want to go back, it's pride. It's flat out pride. And for those of you in relationships, did you know that simply making it the habit of your life to express what you feel in terms of gratitude could be the thing that saves your relationship? It could be the thing that saves your relationship, because it's almost impossible to see in the mirror, and the only way to avoid becoming an ungrateful person is to become a very proactive person in deciding, I am going to express gratitude. I'm going to be a returner. Because it's almost impossible to see in the mirror. It's hard to see in yourself. I'm never going to miss an opportunity to go back and say thank you to those who have enabled me to move forward. Now, on your way out today, I don't have one with me up here, but on your way out today, we're going to give you a little card that looks something like this, okay? So it looks something like this. I owe ? Meaning, I owe who? I owe who? I want you to take this, and I want you to put this in your wallet, and I want you to put this in your purse, and I want you to leave it there for at least a week. Some of you, you need to leave it there for the rest of your life, okay? Leave it there, seriously. And the I owe who card is a reminder that you owe someone. You owe someone. Who do I owe gratitude to? Who do I owe gratitude to in my family? Who do I owe gratitude to at work? Who do I owe gratitude to at home, at church? So here's my question. Who is your question mark? Who is your question mark? Who do you owe? Who do you owe? Are you willing to be the one who goes back and say out loud what's already in your heart, to say out loud what you have been too busy to say because you've been too busy moving forward and you haven't taken the time to go back and say thank you. And as I close out, let me get a little bit personal here for a second. For some of you, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. When you get into the car to go home today, before you turn the key, I just want you to look at whoever is with you in the car, and I want you to tell them, thank you. Thank you. And then fill in the blank with whatever comes to mind. Okay? Now, men, I know what you're thinking, right? I can't do it today. She'll think I'm doing it just because you told me to, right? I understand that. Okay, but let me predict your future. Your wife will not say that you're just doing that because I told you to. She will be so grateful. She will be so grateful that you take the time to tell her how thankful you are. Ladies, some of you, your husband has served you and has served you and has served you. And you never say thank you because you never saw your dad say thank you. You never heard your brother or anyone in your life say thank you. And in your heart, you don't feel entitled, but you're acting like it. And they don't see your heart, or they don't see what you say to other people, but all they hear is what you don't say to them. I want to challenge you today to look in his eyes, okay? Look in his eyes and say thank you. And then say whatever comes to your mind. Students, you live in a culture where you are made to feel so ridiculously entitled, and it's sickening. It's sickening. Now, I'm not saying it's your fault, okay, because you were born into this culture, but you can be the returner. You could be the one that goes back and says thank you to your parents. You could be the one. If you would just swallow your pride and look at your mom and look at your dad, okay, don't text it. Don't Facebook it, okay? Just get personal, look them in the eye and say, Mom, Dad, thank you. Thank you. Students, be a returner. Be the one. Finish the loop. Complete the circle. I mean, imagine what it would look like if us as a church, if we all decided that we're going to be the one that goes back to those who have enabled us to move forward in our lives. And if we do, God will honor that in the most important relationships when we decide that we will be the one. So before you're dismissed, I want to go ahead and pray for you this morning. Father, thank you so much. We have so much. And this is such a hard lesson. Because God, all of us struggle with this. And we pray that you would just lift the blinds from our eyes and that we could see all the people in our lives that have enabled us to move forward. God, that we would be humble and go back and say thank you to those people. And God, and that we would never forget that as grateful we are as for other people, let us be grateful for you who gave us, you gave your son for us. I hope that this is not just for this week of Thanksgiving, but we would express gratitude for the rest of our lives, that people would see us, God, and we would be grateful people. We love you. Be with us today. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. You guys have a great Sunday.